Imagine what you guys are going to think in about December. You'll be so sick of me. All right.
Talk about the uniforms today, Coach, and some of the things we're working on.
Right, yeah. We felt like it was a good time to divide the team up into a blue and a white team and basically have a scrimmage, without pads on. We had shells on, and we're able to accomplish a lot of different situational work. And it's good because situational work is all about the coaches and players getting on the same page. Eventually you want it where the players are thinking exactly like the coaches and vice versa. And so that's what we tried to simulate today. And it's a work in progress, but I thought we were able to get a lot accomplished today.
Here in those scenarios, it seemed like Paul was really trying some different combinations with the O-line. I know you talk about that versatility today.
Yeah.
You strike me as a guy who has a plan B scenario. Knock on wood, if something happens with Dwayne Brown, is Derek Newton your best option to step in at left tackle?
That's a good question, and we always have plan B. Right now there are a number of options. That's one of them. God forbid something were to happen to Dwayne, but you always have to be ready for things like that. Dwayne's come back in great shape, and he's practicing very well. So, we don't anticipate those things. But, again, you have to be ready if they do happen. And so, Newton's an option. There's other guys that are options too. And, training camp, when you're into your eighth, ninth practice, you're going to get some bumps and bruises. So there were some guys that aren't in there right now that hopefully will be candidates for that job too.
Speaking of that, will Yateman expect to be back sometime this week?
Yeah, he should. That was a concussion, so we're taking obviously the necessary precaution with that and making sure that he's healthy and ready to go when he comes back. He's a great guy and he's working very hard to get back, but that's what that was.
As far as situational football, is that just now you're about a week away from the first preseason game? Is that starting to gear up toward that?
Say that again, Dave. I'm sorry.
The situational football you guys have been in right. More and more.
Yeah, I think once you start getting closer and closer to your first game, preseason game, you better have all of your ducks in a row as far as special team situations, obviously 2-minute, red zone, third down. There'll be certain things that'll still have to be covered after the Arizona game and headed into Atlanta, but hopefully you get your, the foundation of your situational work is covered going into the first game.
Now, everybody treats the preseason a little differently from a coaching perspective. How do you see each of the preseason games in terms of what you're looking for and how much work you get your starters in for each of those?
Right. Well, it's very important that we map out how we want to go into each game as far as how many, reps each guy is going to get, whether he's a veteran guy or a guy that's been around for 2 or 3 years or maybe a rookie. So we have planned for that in each game. Obviously things occur that make those plans change. But the biggest thing going into these games is we want to play good, fundamental, solid football. We don't want to make mistakes. We want to make sure that we have a good substitution process, make sure that we, eliminate line of scrimmage penalties, hang on to the football, create some turnovers on defense. So we want to come out of the preseason with a good feeling about our fundamentals as a football team. And I think that's very, very important. And obviously any game we go into here in Houston, we'll always go into it trying to win. We want to win each time we step on the field, whether it's practice or in a game. So that's obviously a big part of it too. But we definitely want to come out of it with a sense that we are a good fundamental team and a team that is coming together, hopefully towards the end of preseason.
Situational, seems like Ryan Fitzpatrick continues to make really quick decisions. Do you like the command and execution you're getting from him this far?
I do, Brian. I think he's getting better every day. He's more and more comfortable. There's a lot to this offense. And it's good to have a guy that's been in a few offenses, obviously a 10-year guy, and he's a very bright guy. He loves this offense, as do, all the quarterbacks, because it's a quarterback-friendly offense. You've got to put a lot of time into it. But once you get down the ins and outs of the offense, you begin to get those things down. You feel pretty good about it, and he's really improved every day, I believe.
Yesterday you mentioned Chris and Brian having some trouble on some snaps.
Yeah, I did.
At this point, is that...
You were out there. You saw it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they've worked together for a few months. Is that troubling that they're having some...
No. It's a lot of snaps at training camp, but it has to be eliminated. Certainly, to me, it's not troubling. It's just something that we have to do a better job of spending some extra time on it and make sure that it stops and that we eliminate it. And I thought it was a lot better today. And nothing out there is taken for granted. So when mistakes like that happen, we have to go back and make sure that we got to do extra. We have to make sure that's a fundamental part of the game, the quarterback center exchange, and we can't tolerate those things.
First team offense today, Rico had three batted balls. Knowing with J.J. Watt's pass, is that something that excites you about the possibility of this first seven?
Matthews had three batted balls? Did he really? I saw a lot of batted balls. I wasn't sure who had them. But, yeah, I think those guys, they're coached very well. Bill Kolar does an excellent job. I mean, this guy is a really good, top-notch defensive line coach, the best that I've been around. He's tough. He's detailed. Those guys play hard on every snap. They play with good technique. And so those guys, because of their talent and because of their coaching, they'll improve every day. And that's what they're doing as a group.
In terms of working the veterans back into the lineup, how much practice do you want them to have before they see preseason games? Or is there an option that maybe they don't see preseason games at all?
Each case, Stephanie, will be determined on an individual basis. You know, we'll determine how much a certain guy has to play based on, what type of injury he's had or how many years he's been in the league or how he's done in practice and things like that. Obviously, we want to get all those guys game repetitions before we play our first regular season game, but each one of those will be determined on an individual basis.
This is the time of year where a lot of fans are planning their road trips to go along with the team, and there's an unofficial group called the Traveling Texans who do that. Do you have any observations about those fans that like to support their team?
I hope there's thousands of members of the Traveling Texans. I can tell you that because playing on the road in this league is very difficult, especially within this division. When you have to go to Indianapolis and you have to go to Tennessee and you have to go to Jacksonville, those are tough venues to play in. Plus, you're playing at Pittsburgh, you're playing at New York, you're playing in a black hole in Oakland. Those are tough places to go. So the more Houston fans we can have there, the better.
Players saying they like this year with the change if they're all staying together where it's the rookies or the veterans. I'm just curious, what was the thought process behind that? Is that just a chemistry or anything like that?
We have a strong belief here in how to win, how to put together a team, how to create team unity, team chemistry, and all of us that have worked in this league or worked for various head coaches throughout our career, we've all taken the good from those head coaches. And one of the great things that I learned at an early stage of my career from every head coach I worked for, and then obviously Bill Belichick in New England, was, training camp's an important time for the team to come together and eliminate distractions and have everybody together communicating about football and getting to know each other and going through the grind of training camp. So that's part of the process of trying to put together a winning football team.
With Jay Frost, it's fairly obvious.
Yeah.
What happened with his hand, unless that's a new weapon on your offense.
No. Yeah, something happened there. He's a tough kid. He'll be back in there sooner than you think. And so we're going to take every precaution necessary with him. But he's really come in here, and for a rookie at this stage of his career, he's learned the offense pretty well, and he's out there. He can do certain things, can't do other things, but as soon as he can be full contact, he'll be ready to go.
Did you talk about the importance of family time that the players get to enjoy right after practice?
Yeah, I think it's great. Now, my family's still on vacation. They don't want to be around me, so they're still on Cape Cod, But you see Mike Vrabel's two sons out there, and you see Hannah and Cal, their two sons out there today. You see the players that have kids, their families are here. I think that's fantastic. When your sons and daughters and nephews and nieces can come to practice and watch how these guys operate and how hard they work, and then after practice be able to spend some time with them, I think that's a pretty neat thing. That's something I love about the NFL. And it's been good so far watching that.